Iraq is less violent these days than it's been in the past 5 years. Yet, as things grow more stable in Iraq, they're becoming less so in Afghanistan. That's partly due to cross-border attacks by Taliban and al-Qaeda forces. They've taken refuge in the border areas between Afghanistan and Pakistan. President Bush discussed the issue today with Pakistan's new prime minister in Washington. The World's Katie Clark has more.
President Bush today called Pakistan a strong ally in the fight against terrorists. He then turned his praise on the visiting prime minister, Yousaf Raza Gilani.
We also appreciate the prime minister's strong words against the extremists and terrorists who not only would do us harm, but have harmed people inside Pakistan.
For his part, Gilani told President Bush that extremists are the exception rather than the rule in Pakistan.
There are handpicked people and militants who are disturbing this peace, and I assure Mr. President we'll work together for democracy and for the prosperity and peace of the world.
President Bush today offered Pakistan $115 million in food aid over the next 2 years. Dan Markey with the Council on Foreign Relations says that's exactly the kind of message the Bush administration should be sending Pakistan at the moment.
The ongoing and very urgent economic problems that the state of Pakistan is having right now, this is the kind of thing that conceivably could win over greater support throughout the Pakistani population for the United States.
U.S.-led counterterrorism efforts inside Pakistan have often made more enemies than friends. For one thing, Pakistani civilians are frequently injured or killed in the process. Sajjan Gohil of the London-based Asia-Pacific Foundation says financial incentives for Pakistan are fine. Aid in recent years has stretched into the billions of dollars. But Gohil says aid must be conditional.
There has to be checks and balances before money can just be gifted to the regime.
Gohil says there also has to be a way for the United States to shore up Gilani's civilian administration.
Because the military has become too powerful, and in effect there are question marks over whether their loyalty is to dealing with Washington or actually harboring sympathies, ideological sympathies, with groups like al-Qaeda and the Taliban itself.
In fact, the West questions Gilani's move in April to renew peace negotiations with leaders in Pakistan's ungoverned tribal areas. That's where al-Qaeda and the Taliban have taken refuge. Lisa Curtis of the Heritage Foundation says that move was flawed.
In fact, we see that the Taliban and other extremist elements are actually strengthening their position in Pakistan's tribal areas. And we're also seeing a resurgence of Taliban activity in Afghanistan. And U.S. commanders are extremely frustrated with these Pakistan policies. So, of course, Prime Minister Gilani will try to argue for patience and time, but I don't think he will find a very sympathetic ear from U.S. officials in that regard.
What analysts do agree on is that Pakistan isn't able right now to carry out an effective political and military campaign in the tribal areas along Pakistan's border with Afghanistan. Again, Dan Markey with the Council on Foreign Relations.
The Pakistani military, its army, are not created to do counterinsurgency or countermilitancy or counterterrorism. They are intended and have always been intended to serve as a defense force primarily against India, which Pakistan has always seen as its primary security threat. And transitioning or transforming the Pakistani security and intelligence into an agency or set of agencies that can fight terrorists is going to take a long time.
Markey thinks at least another 3 to 5 years. In that time, the United States will likely continue acting on its own to destroy specific targets inside Pakistan, even if that angers Pakistanis. Pakistan says one such attack by a U.S. military drone today killed al-Qaeda's top chemical and biological weapons expert. For The World, this is Katie Clark.